pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit that we may hear your word with joy. Amen. I will be reading this morning from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
Our next reading comes from the older of the New Testaments, 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, and chapter 3, verses 3 through 14. Then David slept with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. The time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned for 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, only he sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. We all like stories, right? So, once upon a time, there lived a wise king, King Solomon. But first, a little information about his father, David. You probably know that David, King David, the great warrior, was one of the most beloved kings who reigned over Israel. This is the same David who, the story goes, struck down Goliath, the same David who swooned over the spoken for Bathsheba, and the David who is credited for composing many of the Psalms. He is described in Scripture as a man after God's own heart. He is all of that. But perhaps most important, biblical tradition maintains that Jesus is a direct descendant of the house of David. Back to the story. Once upon a time, there was a wise king, King Solomon. There's always more to the story. The truth is, Solomon assumed the throne of his father after a grand struggle with thriving competition, probably not so unlike what we see these days between opposing political parties. But eventually, Solomon was declared king. Story has it that early on, Solomon walked in the footsteps of his father, trying to fill his shoes, firmly establishing his kingdom. He was earnest and in his prayer prayed, "Lord God, I'm not sure I can handle this land, these people." And God comes to him in a dream and asks, "What do you need? What should I give you?" Imagine that. Suppose God shows up in one of your dreams and asks you the same question. Think about it for a minute. What do you need? Is it good health? Maybe for you or for a loved one? Freedom from financial woes? The full charge of a political party? A clean earth? No more war? No poverty? Resolution in a relationship? A good night's sleep? I think Jim said coffee this morning. What is it? Now, step into Solomon's shoes and suddenly you are responsible for not just your own little family, but the entire kingdom. And if you are in charge of people and genuinely concerned on their behalf, whatever it was you thought you needed before that transition has now probably changed. The focus has expanded. Truly, Solomon's task is a gift and a great responsibility, all in a package. I would guess this new challenge was met with great joy and, at the very least, a little trepidation. We all know that to make decisions for oneself is one thing, but to reign in love over many is quite another. If there's any doubt about that, take a closer look at the church and how it carefully navigates through the difficult challenges to love and serve together when folks have strong opinions about the path ministry should take. With Solomon, there are these folks and God who are putting their trust in his new leadership. And maybe they have high expectations and hopes and believe that he will be as great or greater than his father. But what if, down the road, Solomon erred in judgment? You think that kind of thinking didn't keep him up at night? The fact is, he knew he didn't know everything he would need. He knew he didn't know. He stated his case. He says, "The reality is, I'm a child. I don't know my way in or my way out. I'm clueless." That's about as honest as one could be. And then he makes a request, and it's brilliant. It's something we all pray for, no doubt. He asks for wisdom. Maybe you pray the serenity prayer, "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference." It's the wisdom that instructs us. Solomon got that right. He asked for wisdom. Is that what you thought of a few minutes ago? Like Solomon, do you know that you don't know what you need? Admittedly, we are all pretty good at sending God our requests, even without prompting. In our prayer, our conversations with God, we often tell God what we think we need. And if you've never done this yourself, you know at least one person who has sent out a desperate prayer request to God. God, heal my child. Let my mother live. Fix this relationship. God, if you will just grant this one thing, we pray, as if we know what God should do and expect God might make exceptions for us, that God would wave his power over us and resolve whatever it is we struggle with. But then we all know how life changes, and with changes come new needs. And what you thought you needed last week may not be what you need today. And typically we don't have just one need. There are many, right? And not without urgency. And the truth is, we may not even tell God exactly what to do. Excuse me. And in that case, this is how it sounds. God, this is a mess. You got to do something. Now! Again, we may expect God's immediate attention and prompt action. So back to the story, that dream. Solomon recounts God's blessings on David. He says, because David was faithful, upright, righteous, steadfast, you know, all those ways of goodness described in the Old Testament. Solomon goes as far as stating that God even managed to bless David with the birth of Solomon, just so there would be an heir to the throne. But let's stop right here for a minute, and if I may, question this. Before I do, let me just say, and I probably have said this before, but I believe it's worth repeating, questioning one's belief is a statement of your faith. It isn't doubting whether or not you believe. It is, in fact, a testimony to your faith. A fact that you desire to get down to the nitty-gritty, intimate relationship with God. Trust me, God can handle your questions. I would go as far as to say God welcomes your inquiries. You have God's permission. Remember, knock, and the door will be open. Seek, and you will find. So don't be afraid to ask. Pastor Warren alluded to this a couple of weeks ago, and Reverend Blair addressed this last Sunday when she spoke about the wide use of symbolism in Judaism and how we understand the Scripture. So let's think about this. Question it. It is Solomon who says, and I'm paraphrasing slightly, but you get the idea. God, you have shown great and steadfast love to my father David because he walked before you in faithfulness, righteousness, steadfast love, and have given him a son to reside over the people. Remember, it's not God who is speaking here, it's Solomon. And furthermore, this sets God up as a sort of conditional God. The words because and if hold a lot of power here. You do this, and I give you that. You see what I mean? This is Solomon's theology of God. If I am wise and good like my dad, because I do all the right things, God will bless me too. Is that who our God is? Do you ever find yourselves second-guessing God? It may be the case that God came to Solomon in a dream. But I think it would be to our benefit to wonder if this dream included a vision of Solomon's personal ideas of who he believed God was and how God worked. I think we can give Solomon the benefit of the doubt. He was just as human as you and I. I believe his prayer was in earnest, that when he first began his role as king, he desired God's wisdom to lead. And we offer that same prayer. We know enough that we don't know. We maintain our lives hopeful that God is working alongside of us. So, once upon a time there lived a wise king, King Solomon, who prayed for wisdom, but eventually turned away from God, relying upon his own power and judgment. Can happen so easily. I do it all the time when things don't happen as I believe they should or as quickly as I want them to happen. I forget I'm not in control. We, all of us, may not even be consciously aware when we sort of give up on God. Maybe our child becomes more sick or grandma passes away and the relationship with a good friend ends. Maybe you lose your job, or you fall and break a hip, or someone steals your purse at the grocery store while you're attending to your three-year-old's tantrum. You're at the end of your rope. And it feels like maybe God stepped out for a smoke. Before you know it, you're invested. Maybe obsessed in your solutions, not God's. And this is a good place for me to say, yes, we are all guilty. And yes, God still loves us. God's love is so great that God loves us even if we haven't continued loving and trusting God with all our hearts and have lost our focus and awareness, because we have a loving, compassionate, and unconditional God. That is our good news. God doesn't abandon us because we at times abandon God. I would like to tell you that once upon a time, Solomon lived a long and happy life, and in his wisdom fulfilled the hopes and dreams of the people and purposes of God. But that's not exactly how the story played out. Solomon reigned for 40 years, and during that time Israel was at peace. And while he gained a reputation of fierce wisdom like no other, he had his issues. It's true, Solomon was the first to build an impressive temple for God, but he also had an appetite for living large in his own private palace. He used forced labor to move mountains and demanded high taxes to pay for his grand visions. He had many wives who worshiped various gods, and in time, Solomon began building these expensive altars to other gods. You see where it's going? Did God love him less? You can answer that for yourself, but I don't really think so. Does God want us to discern what is right? Indeed. And not only for ourselves, but for our brothers and sisters, because when you pray God's will for others, your life changes. Your prayer is focused outwards. Your needs, transition to the needs of others. We too might pray that same prayer that Solomon lifted, God, grant me wisdom. We may not rule over others as Solomon did, but there is a kingdom we've been given charge over. And this is where I'd like to call upon our reading from Ephesians. In short, be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time. Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be filled with the Spirit. So how do we know if that Spirit is thriving within us? Well, actually, there's a checkpoint in Galatians that describes the Spirit as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you recognize those? Could be that those, God's Spirit, alone is the will of God. It is that easy and that difficult. So dream on about the truth of our God who loves you unconditionally. Dream on in that cloud of unknowing how God might use you even if you don't know how, but because God is who God is. Dream on in the awareness of others who can't dream or even begin to consider the magnitude of God's love. Dream on with the vision of God before you and the indwelling of God's Spirit. Dream on, not out of hope for God's blessings, but in hope that God's purposes might be lived out through you. Once upon a time, there was a wise king, King Solomon, and in spite of his good efforts and intentions, he failed, and God loved him anyhow. Amen.